It's that time again for the Manifest Telecast, and we want to welcome our worldwide viewing audience to a very important teaching. Three stunning last day warnings for your family. Boy, do we have some scriptures to share with you today that are seldom looked at in the body of Christ or even taught behind pulpits. So I want you to stay with us for the entire program, and we will have what I believe to be one of the most unique, informative, and unusual teaching resources we've ever had. And that's why I want you to watch to the end of the program where we talk about the return of the dark angel. We know that we're living in the last days, or at least we believe that we are. Now, what does the term last day, that last days mean? Well, it actually is a term that has multiple meanings, but I have written this down from my perspective of study. The final period of time marked by specific signs that indicate the arrival of the final generation of people on earth that will experience the return of Christ, the tribulation, and the arrival of the Lord's millennial kingdom. Now, that's a mouthful right there, but those living in that time frame would be considered the last generation, and it would, the signs that they are experiencing would also allude to what we call last day signs. Now, one of the big proofs that we're at the time of the end, without a doubt, is something that, once again, does not get taught on a lot by especially prophetic ministers. Prophetic ministers are often dealing with signs in Israel, signs in the Middle East, signs in Europe, signs in the United States. But in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, these are three Gospels out of four, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and three chapters, one in each book, that give you something that is seldom taught on, that is one of the main signs of the last days. Matthew 24 mentions deception four times. Luke 21 mentions deception one time. Mark 13 mentions deceptions two times, the word deception. Now, a deception is causing someone to accept as true something that is false or invalid. Now, in the New Testament, it predominantly means accepting maybe a false doctrine of some kind. In other words, you accept a doctrine that is not true. And it also can mean a person that is deceived by an offense. Now, I'm going to give you several combined scriptures here, and I want you to pay very careful attention. These will deal with your family. These are going to deal with issues that some of you watching me have been dealing with for quite some time. One verse says this, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness," and the King James says iniquity, which is the word for lawlessness, "will abound," that means it will be all over the place, "the love of many will grow cold. But he," and that word "he" can always mean he or she, "that can endure to the end shall be saved." Now, that deals with being offended. Now, I want you to listen to this verse, because this verse is becoming more prominent in our time frame that we are presently in than maybe any other time frame I can remember. But check this out. Listen to this right here. Jesus made this statement, "Do you suppose I am come to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against his son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now, this plainly tells you that there's going to be family division at the time of the end. And also, this does connect with the Matthew 24 verse I read a moment ago of offended, betrayals, and hating one another. Now, the word division can be several different Greek words, but two in particular. One can mean the disunion of opinion and conduct. In other words, it's a disunion concerning what your opinion is concerning something But it also can be a division concerning the conduct of people. You're telling someone that is wrong. Well, I don't think it's wrong. That's in the Bible. That's a sin. Well, I don't think it is. That is division. Now, there's four causes, and I want you to follow me here. There's four causes of family division. Cause number one is when you become a Christian. There are people who are not Christians. There are people who accept Christ. And so what happens is, this is seen in families consistently, that discord is sown among children who tell their grandma, you're not taking my kids to church. Or, you know, a son that says, no, I don't want my kids going there. So there's this division over Christianity. That's primarily what Christ was referring to there when he talked about he had come to bring division. He doesn't cause the division. God's not the author of confusion in the church. But what he is, he's the occasion of it. Because you believe in him and others do not, it creates a division. Then there's what we call doctrinal issues. That's the second level of division. Doctrinal issues are, for example, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do they exist today, or is there cessationism? Two opposite sides. Water baptism. Do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or the baptism in the name of Jesus only? There's the Sabbath issue. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Do the Gentiles take Sunday and the Jews take Saturday? So there's division in the body of Christ over doctrinal issues. And then we also have what I call church issues. You know, you have church issues when churches have two opposing beliefs in a community. And we're not going to get into all the church issues because there are too numerous to count. But then the biggest division, in my opinion, is the division which is caused by offenses. And that's what we need to talk about for a moment, because this is what's really messing people up, is the area of offense. Now, I want to break down offense, the word offense, to you. If you watch football, you know there's a defense that's trying to keep them from scoring, and there's an offense that's pushing against the defense to try to score. So the noun comes from the Latin word to strike against, and also it can mean rudeness or anger that causes a person to strike out against someone, or anger that causes a person to be rude. Now, that's the Latin version. However, in the Greek, because the New Testament was written in the Koine common Greek language, the word offense is found in the New Testament 17 times, and it basically comes out of a word scandalon, which is where we get the English word scandal or scandalize from. And it refers to a trap, to trip up, or causing someone to be entrapped. Now, it's been pointed out, if you've ever heard teaching on this subject, and this is real important that I share this with you, if you've ever heard teaching on this subject, you will know that the offense, when you take the word scandalon, what is a scandalon? It is the bait that is put on a trap that draws the animal, in this case, to the trap and entraps them. So the offense is the bait that creates the scandal. Let me say it again. So the offense is the bait. It is the source that creates the scandal. And when there's been an offense, a scandal can become an absolute stumbling block to people. And it always does. So I've had people come up to me, not recently, this has been sometime in the past, and they apologized, and they would say to me, I need to apologize to you. Well, you know, some of them I hardly even knew. And I said, well, what for? And they said, I became offended at you because of what some people were saying. And one woman, I never forget, she was almost in tears. She said, they defiled my spirit. And the Bible says that the root of bitterness defiles many. And so you can become defiled by listening to people who are offended attack other people. I see people, and they're walking around depressed. Well, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? You're making a terrible mistake. You're defiling your spirit with a bunch of people that half of them don't even really know the truth of what's going on. They're just repeating what somebody said. So an offense in the Bible, it says this, many will be offended. Now think about that. Many are going to be offended. Many will say, Jesus even said, many will say into that day, did I not prophesy and cast out devils? So when I see the word many used by Jesus, I pay very careful attention to that word, because this Matthew 24 being offended is not a small group of people. It is a large, large group of people. Now, I want you to listen to me, because I've taught this before, and a lot of you may have not ever heard me really get into this in detail. But I want to say something to you about false witnesses. In the Bible, there is something in the commandments called bearing false witness against your neighbor, which is one of the commandments that you are not to do. You are not to bear a false witness against the neighbor. Now, what is a false witness? A false witness would be someone who is called in and says, they say that he stole that person's ox. Well, he did. Well, did you see it? Well, no. Well, guess what? You're not a witness. You are only repeating what they told you about them stealing the ox. So you can, listen, in a court case, normally, it's a little different now, but in a court case, a false witness, someone who did not see it, cannot, their testimony can't stand in court if they just say, well, he said and she said and that one said and I heard. That does not work, period. Some people think it does and they can get somewhere with that. No. All right? But listen to what Jesus said. It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. Now, in Luke 17 and 1, it talks about this. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you are a person that you are repeating something about someone and you think it's true because it was reported on the news, in a newspaper, in a news report, whatever the case, or somebody told you that's supposed to know, okay, and you repeat it and it turns out to be false, you are a liar. You are accountable to God for lying. You should go to that person. You should apologize. You should repent because you told a lie that was not true. Now, I have seen ministers attacked on social media for absolute lies. I have a good friend. I know her. We've had dinner together, her and her husband. It's Joyce Meyer, who has had this tremendous ministry. I remember years ago reading an article, and I actually found the quotes the other day that were on the paper. Joyce Meyer has a gold commode, and it gave this price of the value of it. And then, oh my goodness, I can't believe Joyce Meyer. Why can't she buy a normal commode like it's in my house? Now, here's the point. It was not a commode that you sit on in your bathroom. It was a piece of antique furniture. And these people are talking about a commode in a bathroom costing money, and probably that, I think even the furniture had actually been given to her as a furniture piece. I'm not sure about that. But so here's people repeating something that's not even true. And I'm telling you, 5,000 people, my God, I'll never support her again. Wasting money on a commode. No. It's a piece of antique furniture. That's what it was called. And I won't go into the detail why it was called that. My grandparents had one of those. Okay? So that's just one example of false witnesses. Listen to me carefully. You need to hear this. One pastor, somebody sent me a paper. They say, oh, you got to read this. It's terrible. Well, I don't even normally read papers. And so it talked about how this pastor had taken this widow woman's money from her, and it was awful. And all people were just mad. They were leaving the church. That let me tell you what they didn't tell you. Because most of the time, what they don't say is more important than what they're saying. That woman who was a widow asked the pastor, can you invest money and make money for me? And he took money and invested it for her and tripled her money. The paper didn't tell you that. Oh no, pastor takes widow woman's money. They only report what they want to present. And then they say, oh, we didn't know the rest of the story. We apologize. And you never get a retraction most of the time. And so my point is, I can tell you crazy stories that we have been through. I mean, we've actually came that close to arresting people that we have had not connected to our ministry, no, not in our ministry, but for some situations of things they did. And my wife and I, decided to show grace instead, and because the people later apologized. Some of it was social media stuff, and they came back and they apologized for it. They said, we were in the wrong, listening to liars. We didn't know it. Okay? So let me just say this to you. It's not many times what you hear, it's what you haven't heard. And here's what people want you to do. In the resource I'm about to offer, God taught me something. He taught me three weapons that need to be used, and most people never use one that I have in that book. Everybody wants you to comment when there's a breaking news story about a ministry. How come you ain't said nothing? You need to say something. Why? Give me one reason why I need to say something. Number one, it's not my battle. If it's not my battle, why should I involve myself in a battle that's not my battle or a battle that I'm not invited to participate in? Why? Number two, my opinion is my opinion. Number three, the Bible says love covers a multitude of fault. I am not going to get on there and be an accuser of the brethren before God like a little Satan and give opinions and try to land blast and destroy somebody that I'm angry with and then me stand before God at the judgment. No, thank you. No, thank you. I had one guy rubbing and said, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm not going to support you. Well, he gave $10. So God bless you. Thank you for the $10. But guess what? I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I don't answer to you. I answer to God. And I am trying to teach you these principles in the scriptures so that you won't fall into these satanic traps that are out there. Okay? So you're not going to move me by your threats. You're not going to, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. That's okay. There's millions. You know how many people haven't heard Perry Stone preach? 7.5 billion. So I think I've got an audience out there on the Manifest telecast. That's who I'm trying to reach, is those people who have not been reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So here's what the Bible teaches. I'm going to get right to the point here. And forgive me for doing this on TV, but I have a little bit of itchy throat. This is very important. I want you to listen to me while I share this with you. God wants you to know something about offenses, because offenses create scandals. And the whole purpose of Satan creating an offense is to try to create a scandal in a ministry or in a church. And once the scandal has been created, then he creates a division. And once he creates a division, that division can go on to the point where it affects people. Some of you that sit around with your little kids around and you're blasting ministries and they see you commenting, you don't know what you're doing. You're destroying the future of your kids ever showing up at a church or ever getting saved. I know people that have done it. One young man went to a pastor. This is a while back. Said, Pastor, I want you to know I like you personally, but the reason I never did come to your church is my mother and dad, who were members, did nothing but dog you down and talk bad about you every time at the house. I got tired of hearing it. And I liked you, but I wouldn't come to church because my mom and dad, you know, pretty much were hypocrites, you know, living one way and getting behind and bad mouthing. You know what happened to that boy? He was a man. He dropped dead. And he dropped dead, and I don't know, I'm not judging his spiritual condition, but I will tell you this. Imagine being the mom and dad, and you were the ones that all you ever did was run your mouth about the pastor, and your son heard it growing up and wouldn't come to church because of it. Do you want that on your conscience? Do you want that the rest of your life on your conscience? You better think before you start attacking. If my wife and I are discussing something ministry related, we always try to keep the grandbabies out of it. We always try to keep the children out of it. That discussion is between her and I, or maybe decisions that are being made or things of that nature that are very important. We want our children to love Jesus. We want our children to love going to church. And we know church folks are not perfect. We know that they have faults. And if you don't think they do, one guy said, yeah, I didn't think the church had, you know, problems until I showed up. Then when I walked in the door, problems started. Thank God for his honesty. But listen to me carefully. In Matthew chapter 24, when it talks about betrayals, hating, iniquity abounding, love growing cold, it also says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That Greek word endureth, or to endure, means to bear up under weight, to bear up under pressure. Now, what is the pressure? I used to think when I read Matthew 24 that bearing up under pressure was bearing up under the pestilence, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, the famines and the wars, that we were going to have a lot of pressure put on us from these outside things. But if you look at the context, he's dealing there with being offended, betraying each other, love growing cold. Now think about that verse about families being divided. All this ties together with what we're talking about today, about the idea of these warnings that are coming to the body of Christ and to the church to be careful. So here's the third thing. You have to be able to endure to the end to be saved. Paul talked about the end of your salvation. It's not how fast you run the race. It's can you cross the finish line? The enduring is enduring people talking bad about you. It is enduring offense. It's enduring being scandalized. It's being able to stand up under the pressure and hold your head up and say, I know who I am in Jesus. I know my sins have been forgiven by the blood. I know I'm doing the will of God to the best of my ability. And that's what matters. And when it comes to inserting yourself in other people's offense, you had better be careful. Because if you insert yourself in an offense, you will get into bitterness and unforgiveness. And if you get in unforgiveness in Matthew 6, God will not forgive your sins when you are walking in unforgiveness. It's in the Bible. Read it. He turns you over to a tormenting spirit. And that's why you're walking, that's why some of you are walking around all depressed all the time. Because you watch 9 YouTube videos attacking somebody, and it's got your spirit all revved up. It's defiled your spirit, and you need to repent. You know what you need to do is block all those crazy people. Seriously. And just say, you know what? We can't have this. We cannot have this type of thing with people who don't know them, and we're not there bearing a witness. Just because somebody, accusations is not evidence. Don't you ever forget it. It's a firm message, but I really hope it helps you to understand these are things that's going to happen in the last days, and we have to have the ability to endure. What I'm about to show you is very important, so stay tuned.
In the dark kingdom, there are crafty familiar spirits linking back to your ancestors that continue to design seasonal attacks, targeting your family on specific timed moments. However, armed with this stunning insight, you can track their timing to cut off their intended plots. In Perry Stone's gripping new book, Return of the Dark Angel, he uncovers how your family may be encountering supernatural warfare involving an unclean or familiar spirit, character weaknesses, dangerous bondages, secret sin cycles, and death cycles that you can now unmask and expel from your present and future lineage. Perry will explain how he was informed that a dark angel was assigned against him every 12 years. Through months of investigation, Perry discovered these 12-year attack cycles, including a strange pattern in his Italian family. For over 120 years, family deaths occurred in a strange 12-year pattern. Through family documentation, Perry discovered the trail of an ancient spirit linked with his early ancestors' involvement in the Italian Black Hands Mafia, including making and selling moonshine during Prohibition in central West Virginia, which caused early deaths. In Perry's book, he reveals topics such as My Besetting Sin and Personal Troubles, The 12-Year Cycles of the Dark Angel Explained, The Strange 12-Year Death Angel Visitation, A Family Sin That Cost the Lives of 2 Children, Breaking a Generational Pornography Spirit, Why the Enemy Targets Your Firstborn Child More Than Others, The Need to Take a Ride in the Hills to Avoid a Hearse, How and Why Satan Commissions Hindering Spirits to Obstruct God's Will in Your Life, How to Chart Out Your Personal and Family Attacks to Prevent Them, How Your Weakness Can Become Your Strength, Healing Deep Soul Wounds. Discover the undetected and most effective weapon Satan is using right now, preparing for a sudden counterattack. Using 3 weapons most Christians never use in a serious conflict. 7 life lessons you must learn now to win in the end. Armed with this amazing knowledge, you can track and detect upcoming plots and cut them off, shutting the door in advance on their strategy. When ordering this book, Perry will also include a 2-audio CD teaching, Christian Cannibals in the Church, Biting and Devouring One Another in God's Name. This is an explosive expose, exposing a dangerous social media feeding frenzy. Every believer must hear this timely, detailed teaching. This audio teaching is available for immediate download when you order from our website. Order offer DA149, which includes Perry's new book, Return of the Dark Angel, and new 2-audio CD teaching, Christian Cannibals in the Church, by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or order online at perrystone.org. You can also write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose your gift of $30 or more to request package offer DA149. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
If there was a way that somehow every person that watched the Manifest telecast could get the new teaching in the book, you don't know how it would bless my heart for this reason. This is the combination of this resource this month is without a doubt the most right now word imaginable. My sister, who has edited most of my books, said to me, Perry, this is probably the most profound and significant book, an eye-opening book that God has ever let you write, The Return of the Dark Angel. And you're going to hear some things in there you've never heard before. I can guarantee you that. So take the time, go to the phone or write us or go online at perrystone.org and get that as soon as you can. The several churches I'm going to be coming to, this will come up on the screen. I'm going to be coming to Sevierville, Tennessee, May the 18th, which is on a Sunday, all day Sunday at Purpose Church, Joel R. Wood, the pastor, great spiritual son. June the 4th through the 8th, I'm coming to Saldanha, Alaska, Trinity Chapel. This is their camp meeting. Now, if you're from Alaska, this is the only place I'm going to be coming to in Alaska this year. So come and join us and be a part of that in Trinity Christian Center. Then on June 20, 21 and 22, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, my dear friend Ed King, Redemption Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Then August 1, 2, 3, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I can't wait to go back to Tony McAfee's church, which is Covenant Life in Clinton, Tennessee. Then August 8th, 9th, and 10th, Christ Temple Church. There we go. Huntington, West Virginia, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Texas, August the 15th through the 17th, we've got Family Faith Church at Willis Campa. And on the 17th, Family Faith Church in Huntsville. And then here we go again. This is August 23 and 24. We're coming to Springdale, Arkansas, Mercy and Grace Cathedral. Now, the best thing to do is go to perrystone.org itinerary and see if we're going to be with maybe an hour radius and try to be in the meetings. I'm telling you, the services are great. The praise and worship is anointed. The altar services, many times the Holy Spirit will move in such a way that many people are filled with the Spirit. Many come to Christ. And so bring the entire family for at least a service in most of these places if you possibly can. We love to be able to meet as many of you as possible. Usually on these longer weekends, we have a partners meeting on the longer weekends, and we try to do a book signing with partners in the three-day ones. So just keep that in mind as well. Perrystone.org, Perrystone Ministries Facebook page. Stay in touch with us and watch YouTube. I just did a teaching right behind me right here.